This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Live from the PetroServe USA studios, this is What's on Your Mind. Call us 701-271-1100. Text us 701-237-1590. What's on Your Mind is on. And now here's your host, Scott Henin.
Well, if you ask me where I come from, here's what I tell everyone.
Back at Big Iron, friends.
I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly.
What makes this an extraordinary place anyway?
And with countless
dreams. What are founding documents? Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We're going to talk about that today. Constitution Day is Sunday. There's an event happening at NDSU today that is free and open to the public. I want to tell you about. The speaker will join us in a moment. President of the Bill of Rights Institute on the program today. Congressman Colin Peterson will be here. He represented Minnesota's 7th District from 1991 to 2021. Amazing. Chair and ranking member of the U.S. House Ag Committee between 2005 and 21. So he's forgotten more about the farm bill than most folks even know. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And look forward to getting an update on where we're at with the farm bill and also talking about his alliance with the American Carbon Alliance. Talk a little bit about carbon management today on the program. So looking forward to that conversation. We are at the PetroServe USA studios at the Brenco building at Big Iron under the purple roof. Come on by and see us. Last day today goes till 4 o'clock. And if you're headed out here, you might want to stop at PetroServe USA's West Main Avenue, West Fargo location for some tater tot hot dish. That's right. Chip beef. Your choice is there. Salisbury steak, 12th Avenue and I-29 location, and NP Avenue as well. Tater tot hot dish in Glendon. Home cook and grab-and-go convenience, Valley City. Exit 292 off I-94. Harwood, I-29 Harwood exit. Euland as well. Tell them Scott sent you for lunch today. PetroServe USA. All right, I want to introduce our next guest, who is, as I said, president of the Bill Rights Institute. Has been there for better than 10 years. Nationally recognized leader in civic education. Has worked for 25 years to build strong civic learning programs that engage the hearts and minds of young people. Nation's leading provider of free open education resources and professional development programs for secondary school teachers of American civics and history. He's an alum of the staff at Hillsdale College, too, and has written many books on these topics. He, today, will be speaking at 4 o'clock for the Challey Institute of Global Innovation and Growth at NDSU at 4 o'clock. That'll be taking place in the Memorial Union. Ballroom A of the Memorial Union is where that's happening today. And it's free to attend, open to the public. And by the way, it's been approved for, excuse me, my goodness, it's been approved for 1.5 North Dakota CLE credits as well. So another reason to be there. It'll be again Ballroom A of the Memorial Union of NDSU at 4 o'clock today. David, Bob, welcome to What's on Your Mind. How are you?
I'm great. Great to be with you, Scott.
Appreciate you being here very much, and welcome you to North Dakota. Glad to have you here.
You know, it's wonderful to be in North Dakota. I grew up in Minnesota, so it feels kind of like being home.
Constitution Day is coming up. We've been talking about that all morning. And, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Somebody's been
Can we get Scotty some tea, please, for crying out loud over here? A little hot tea.
Anyway, we've been asking folks, David, about what their favorite part of the Constitution is. And as part of that conversation, we really realize how little day-to-day attention we pay to the Constitution. Why do you think that is?
Well, we're a constitutional republic. You know, the reason that we're celebrating a Constitution Day here in a few days is it was on September 17th in 1787, after four long, hot months of debate, that the framers of that document finally got to a place where they could send it out to the people. And, you know, the famous thing that Benjamin Franklin said on that day is it's a republic. When he was asked, what kind of government do we have? You know, what's this document doing? It's a republic if you can keep it. And the keeping it has happened now for a long time. And the tendency is we take it for granted because we have had so much success. I was impressed by how many people pointed to the blessings of liberty, you know, the freedom, the prosperity, all of these things that the Constitution was for and is for. We can take for granted when we enjoy those things, the reason for why they exist.
You know, when you go through line by line in the Constitution, I was talking as an example about the 10th Amendment earlier. Couldn't be any more clear to say, okay, here's the deal. Unless we say in this document that it's yours to do, federal government, you can't do it. It's up to the people and the states. Would you say that one's the one that's probably trampled on the most these days?
Boy, that's a tough race to the bottom, unfortunately. And I think it is certainly one of those that we ignore at our peril. And this is why. The Constitution made a strong government. It had to be strong to do the things that at each level it was charged to do. And as you rightly noted, there's a strong limitation on what the national government can do, not because the stuff that the states and localities are charged with are not important, but on the contrary, they're so important, we got to make sure that they're done. And so federalism, making sure that at each level of government there's a responsibility and it's clearly defined, and that those things are carried out, can quickly crumble if one part of it tries to get too powerful. And that's the key thing, I think, that we have to remember. And that's why what we do at the Bill of Rights Institute is, and tying back to your first question, impress on young people especially, but citizens of all ages, that we can't take these liberties for granted. And that the only way that the formal thing, you know, somebody mentioned, hey, it's just a piece of paper. And that's right. Madison said, you know, the Bill of Rights is just a parchment barrier. That is, it's just a piece of paper unless we really believe it, unless we hold it in our hearts. And unless we teach it. And so the teaching of these things, the learning of them, the knowing of them, and the doing of them doesn't come automatically. We have to breathe that into each new generation. And that's what we do at the Bill of Rights Institute every day.
Tell me what you think today, as it exists in public education, the state of American civics and history. Are we doing it well in public education now?
We're not doing it nearly enough, and we're not doing it well enough. But I'll tell you, there are a large number of teachers. You know, I think in the secondary school ranks, 7th through 12th grade, there's more than 200,000. And the Bill of Rights Institute supports about a third of those. And they're drawing on our free online resources. They're going in every day to their classes trying to have conversations that are meaningful. But, you know, only about 56% of high school students say today that they feel like their opinions and their kind of sharing of knowledge is taken seriously by others. In other words, there's not as much deliberation. There's not as much give and take. We think of kind of iron sharpens iron. You know, you're at Big Iron today. We need fewer safe spaces if they're defined in the way of, hey, we're not going to talk about tough stuff. And we need more of point counterpoint, where young people can share. Teachers are guiding them in these discussions. And what I take confidence in is that there are a lot of parents who are awakening to the necessity of civic education, and there are tens of thousands of teachers who have dedicated themselves to this task. And what we find, and we're doing it in Fargo, we had a program for teachers, our first ever in the state, and nearly 40 attended. We're coming back in November to do another. And we want to reach one half of the teachers here in this state with the idea that the founding documents still matter, that those principles can be points of unity in a very polarized country. Where else are we going to go for our unity other than the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution? So that's what we're pointing back to as kind of the place of return.
Well, it makes sense. Teach the teachers, get them fired up about it, and have that imparted on the students, that's for sure. Listener says, my favorite part of the Constitution is how the Founding Fathers included God in its purpose and intent to look after and be concerned for our fellow man. The liberal leaders today have lost this understanding and have demonstrated they know nothing about the Constitution or its intent. What's your reaction to that commentary?
Well, you know, the Declaration of Independence in 1776 is really the heart and soul of this country. And the Constitution was framed around those ideas. The listener is right that the Declaration of Independence recognizes God. It says that the laws of nature and of nature's God are the source of our liberty. And I think the kind of thing that we should do on Constitution Day is take out the document, read it, read the Declaration. And ask some questions of your family members. Ask some questions of the young people that are around you and reflect on what it means to actually have as the Constitution's preamble states the blessings of liberty. How do we actually make those real in the lives of everyday Americans?
Absolutely. Ought to be every house in America to celebrate it. More with our guest on the Bill of Rights Institute and the Constitution when we continue.
These days, you can get a car wash in about every corner. But at PetroServe USA, you'll get a great car wash. And you can come on inside for some hot stuff, personal pan pizza, some cookies, some muffins, home cooking, grab-and-go convenience, and fill up all in one stop. Brand new to Harwood, North Dakota, the all-new PetroServe USA car wash. Check that out. Coming soon to Castleton, too. It's a trifecta. Great fuel, great food, and a great car wash all in one. PetroServe USA.
PetroServe USA.
With a history in North Dakota dating back 70 years, Hess Corporation is committed to making a positive impact across communities in the Bakken. Hess, making significant commitments to improve our environment, targeting zero routine flaring by 2025. Committed to the production of clean, sustainable energy for the nation and the world through significant reductions in our carbon footprint. Hess, a trusted energy partner for North Dakota.
Hi, this is Kevin Piper with Piper's Auction Company. Piper's upcoming September auctions include 600 acres in Stutsman County, 140 acres in Grand Forks County, 289 acres in Cass County, 709 acres in Trail County, 160 acres in Ransom County near Lisbon, and many more land and equipment auctions in Barnes, Ward, McLean, Renville, Towner, Walsh, Morton, Burley, and Burke Counties. Call Piper's 877-700-4099 for view all these land and equipment auctions at Piper's.com.
Did you know that the oil and natural gas industry touches every corner of North Dakota? It's true. Each year, the industry pays over $2 billion to the state of North Dakota. That money flows across the state, funding everything from education, roads and flood control projects, to social services and law enforcement. Learn more at ndpetroleumfoundation.org. North Dakota Oil and Natural Gas. Advancing the possibilities.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Story of Mine is brought to you by MyPillow. Great deals right now. The towel sets back $39.98. You get those slippers for $29. You seen those pet beds? Fantastic.
Oh, Finn
you
loves
have
his.
One of the MyPillow pet. Oh, big time. They get all cozy in there. They love it. So all the deals are at MyPillow.com. Promo code Scott. Great gifts. Think about that. If you've got a wedding coming up, anniversary's coming up, special occasions, birthdays. They are great gifts. They're a lot of fun. Everybody smiles when they get a MyPillow gift. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott, or call 800-506-9028. Continuing our chat with David Bob. David is the president of the Bill Rights Institute. He'll be speaking today at 4 o'clock to celebrate Constitution Day, reflecting on the meaning of opportunity in America today. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment. Ballroom A of the Memorial Union at NDSU starts at 4 o'clock today, open to the public. Hal in West Fargo, you got a question or comment for our guest? Go ahead, Hal.
Hi, Scott. I just kind of wanted to pass on being this important day that my wife and children are all direct descendants of George Mason, who is the author of the Bill of Rights. And he fought hard to get it added to the Constitution at the time. He was a neighbor of George Washington, lifelong friends. And George Washington wanted to progress with the Constitution to have it added separately and maybe work on the Bill of Rights later. But George Mason went and fought and got a group of people, and they added the Bill of Rights to the Constitution right from the start. And real thankful that he is able to do that. And George Washington and George Mason never got along after that.
That was the rift. Has he got his history right there, David?
Sure does. You know, we think of sometimes the founders as one group that, you know, they never argued, they never debated. In fact, they did debate a lot, and sometimes they were pretty ferocious debates. They agreed about some very core things. But on this, you know, Mason was there throughout, you know, the with Patrick Henry, you know, thinking the Constitution lacked one big thing, and that is what came to be known much later as the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. There were actually about a couple hundred ideas that were proposed. You know, September 17, 1787, right, they get done with the Constitution's drafting. But that was only the first step. They sent it out to the people then to be ratified at the state level. Immediately, Mason and his fellow, what came to be known as anti-federalists, said, we got to see some more secure guarantees in the text of this document. Write it down. Commit those rights so that people can point to them. And as one of your earlier callers said, you know, the king can't be throwing us in jail willy-nilly. We can't have our rights stripped from us by an overwhelming government. And I'm glad that Mason did the work that he did. You know, he worked hand-in-hand with James Madison. And the story of how they came to pare these down to a total of 10 is a really remarkable one. It's a lot of hard work. They got it down to those 10. And as you noted, Scott, there's a kind of concision and elegance to the Constitution. It only takes, if you read it and all of the amendments, it only takes about half an hour. And I'd encourage people to just sit down and read the thing. It's pretty simple, actually.
Fantastic. Thanks for the call, Hal. Appreciate it very much. More with Dave in just a moment. Here's a young man with, what's your name, sir?
Ryan.
How old are you, Ryan?
8.
8 years old. And who are you at Big Iron with?
My uncle.
Your uncle, for fun. Have you been to Big Iron before?
Yes.
Is it fun?
Yeah.
Did you want to tell me something?
I believe in the flag.
You stand for the flag, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Would you like a cap?
Yeah.
All right. Bumper sticker?
Sure.
Thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome.
Love it when the kids come by. Take your pick of hats, kids, bumper stickers. Go for it right there, out there with their uncle. I love it at Big Iron. David, before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about what you're going to be talking about today at NDSU. What is civil society? How did the framers of the U.S. Constitution understand opportunity?
Yeah, if you think of what they accomplished, right, the Constitution is a formal document. It lays out the limitations on governmental power for a reason. And that reason is that they wanted the powers of the government, both national, state, and local, to be limited so that the potential within enterprise, within philanthropy, within the charitable sector, within all of the things that we, the people, do outside of the realm of government, that that potential could be unlimited, because that's the real engine of our progress. You know, we've grown by 100x in our population since that time and have become the most prosperous nation on the planet and in the course of human history. And I'll argue this afternoon that that kind of constituting opportunity was intentional, that the founders and their study and their learning, and not just their theory, but their kind of, hey, we got to learn from history, saw that the regimes that really are going to be effective, the constitutions that are going to be effective, are going to create the conditions for opportunity, opportunity for all. And, of course, their vision was not perfectly put into place. Human beings are not perfect. But what they set out to do is to create a more perfect union, one that would improve on the Articles, and give as much opportunity to as many people as possible. And the argument that I'm going to make is that we've seen that happen and that we have to remember how it came to be so that we can continue that prosperity, growth, and opportunity.
Fascinating. Tell me what you think the founding fathers would think of America today, specifically things like diversity, equity, inclusion, and, you know, everybody has to have a diversity officer now, and, you know, all the way to environmental social governance that is gripping, because of the green agenda, its way into clamping down on regulations on business and free markets. What do you think they'd think of that?
I think they'd point us back to the second part of E Pluribus Unum and say, you must not forget that, right? So it's great to have diversity. They created the conditions by which we could have a large commercial republic. But E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one, means that you have to come back together. You got to rally around the principle. And sure, there's going to be debate, right? The Constitution is a means for encouraging, really, of managing disagreements, but not eliminating. And some of the current trends that we see, there's a kind of toe the line, you got to adhere to this kind of ideology. And I think the founders would say, look, we face real problems here. And what we have to rediscover really, is civic friendship, where we can disagree about things and yet come together and say, we're going to be in this thing together. You know, a republic means the things that you hold in common. And we got to remember about the things that we hold in common, or else we're not going to have another 250 years. You know, on July 4th, 2026, we'll turn 250 years. And I think the big question today is, do we have another 250? Do we have 100? Because if we continue to fracture, we will not succeed.
That's a shot across the bow, folks. Awaken to the genius of our founding fathers and those founding documents. David Bob, the president of the Bill of Rights Institute, will be at NDSU, Memorial Union, Ballroom A at 4 o'clock for a free public talk today. Teachers get a 1.5 North Dakota CLE credit, too. Be there. David, thanks for the time today. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
Kudos to talking estate planning with Mark Wagner, ND Estate Services. Mark, what are the deciding factors when people determine their estate plans?
Scott, age, marital status, and even wealth are not a determining factor when it comes to setting up your estate plan. The determining factor is, number one, if you don't want to have any court oversight of any titleable assets or any numbered accounts, you need to consider the benefits of a revocable living trust to have a private, peaceful settlement for your family each and every time, guaranteed.
That avoids probate, but it also minimizes taxes, doesn't it?
It does minimize taxes. The kids all receive a stepped-up basis on your investments and also on your personal titleable property that's been properly funded into the trust. Absolutely.
Call Mark to find out more at 701-318-0908, 318-0908, ndestateservices.com in Minnesota and North Dakota. Mark Wagner. Thanks, Mark.
USA News Update. Forecasters predicting Hurricane Lee will reach the New England coast by tomorrow. The National Hurricane Center says Lee will likely still be a large and dangerous cyclone when it reaches southeastern New England late tomorrow and will then move over Maine and Atlantic Canada during the weekend. President Biden has written a letter to prominent news outlets urging them to carefully examine his House impeachment inquiry. The United Auto Workers Union preparing for a strike strike against Detroit's big three automakers. Yesterday, Union President Sean Fain ruled out any extension of the existing contracts. San Diego authorities reporting a surge of migrants at the border with Mexico. Hundreds of migrants, including some from Africa and Asia, have been gathering in the space between the two border barriers south of the city. Corey Myers, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
We're back at Big Iron. We're in the Brenco building. You'll find no better cleaning equipment anywhere. And they prove it to you here. Because they dump the dirt and the gravel and the rocks and the whole works right there on the floor of the Brenco building here. And then bring out the scrubbers and the cleaners and the cleaning equipment here. And they go to town. And you can try them yourself. Get right behind, push them around, take a look at what they do. Brenco Cleaning Equipment and Janitorial Supplies. Brenco Building is the purple roof building. I always say three buildings down from the Piper's trailer, if you want to find us. We'll be here till 4 o'clock today. Invite you to come on out and check it out. If you can't make it today, BrencoOnline.com or call 282-2225 or 2745 Main Avenue in Fargo. Our next guest has forgot more about agriculture and the farm bill legislation than most people know. Congressman Colin Peterson, 7th District Congressman from Minnesota from 1991 to 2021, chair and ranking member of the House Ag Committee from 05 to 21, and now is basically a nationally recognized expert on ag policy, working with a lot of folks on different things, and also a senior advisor to the American Carbon Alliance. We're going to talk a little bit about all of that today on the program with Congressman Peterson. Colin, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Scott. Sounds like you're doing well out there.
Yeah, it's another day of Big Iron. We're having a little fun out here. You probably remember a few Big Irons over the years, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was there last year or the year before with Bill Northey from Iowa, who had been the undersecretary that I worked with under Trump. And so he and I did an event out there in Big Iron a couple years ago.
What are you up to these days? Give us an update on Collins. You're busier than ever, it sounds like.
Yeah. I'm not very good at being retired. So I'm working with Combat Cell, which is a lobby firm that represents a lot of farmers. They represent Minnesota corn. They also represent rice and cotton and peanuts and farm credit and crop insurance. And so I'm working with them on a kind of a part-time partnership, helping them with stuff. I'm also working with the dairy industry, IDFA, on stuff, trying to straighten out the dairy issues in the farm bill. I'm working with just signed a contract with Bayer Crop Sciences to help them with Democratic members on this whole Roundup issue, where they're trying to ban Roundup, which should be a huge problem for farmers. And I'm also now working for the Carbon Alliance, which That's something that Tom Bias got me involved in. But Tom, you know, he and I worked together. He was the National Farmers Union president when I was chairman of the committee the first time. He helped me get the 07-08 bill through. He also helped us get the RFS for ethanol. Helped me get Nancy Pelosi behind it. And that's how we got the 15 billion gallons RFS in there that has been what caused the ethanol industry to really take off and be successful. And now what they're working on is trying to get farmers, the ag community, rural communities to understand this carbon issue. And, you know, this should be obvious, but you've got some people in the environmental community that do not like how we grow corn. And they don't like ethanol because of that. And the fact that we use fertilizer and so forth. And so they have convinced the EPA to give us a carbon score, which we don't agree with, that's 60. In order to qualify for these new sustainable aviation fuels and advanced biofuels, you have to have a carbon score of below 50. So we've been trying to get them to change the model to a different model, which would get us below 50, but so far have been unsuccessful. And what really is troubling about this is that Brazil, because they're a developing nation under the rules, have been able to qualify their ethanol as under this low carbon standard. And if we don't get this fixed, they're going to be the ones that benefit from this huge sustainable aviation fuel market, which is a 100 billion gallon market. And so we've got to get this carbon thing under control. And this Carbon Alliance is trying to get people to understand that that with what happened in the Inflation Reduction Act and what's happened in California and some other states, it's made carbon one of the most valuable commodities in agriculture. And, you know, some people don't like that, but it's the reality of where we're at. It's where the rest of the world is at. And so we're trying to get folks to understand that that we have to get this carbon standard reduced on ethanol if we're going to make sure that this industry stays successful, stays profitable, and, you know, has a market opportunity into the future.
Chatting with Congressman Colin Peterson on the program today. If you have a question or comment, certainly welcome. 701-271-1100. We were talking about Constitution Day earlier, which it is on Sunday. I'm wondering if carbon score in the EPA ever factored into what the Founding Fathers thought America would mean. I mean, isn't it crazy what the federal government could do now? Gosh.
Yeah, I agree with you. But it's not just the federal government. I mean, it's every government in the world is pushing this. You know, and Brazil has been ahead of us on this, you know, and they are our main competitor right now when it comes to corn and soybeans, you know, and we need to, you know, we need to, you know, get on board with them. So
I've equated it this way. See if you agree with this analogy, Colin, that, you know, I don't like what this has become. I don't think it's anywhere near what the Founding Fathers envisioned, but the train has sort of left the station, and you get places like North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, Western Minnesota. We can't opt out. We can't say we're not playing that game. Otherwise, our industries get hurt. So I feel like this, you know, these carbon management plans that are on the table, like enhanced oil recovery or a sequestration, which we can do with great success in North Dakota, have already tested this and have wells operating right now and have CO2 in pipelines right now. Doing these measures sort of beats them at their own game, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the thing, looking at the big picture, Scott, now you think about before we had ethanol, we struggled with these commodity prices. You know, and we were selling corn below the cost of production because we didn't have a market. So now 40% of the corn produced in the United States goes into ethanol. So you just think about what would happen if we lost that. What would happen to corn prices and to agriculture if we didn't have ethanol? And I was at the speech by Tom Vilsack Tuesday morning at the Growth Energy thing here in D.C., and he said don't know if I agree with him on this, but he said that we could lose the ethanol industry in the United States if we don't get on the ball with this. And I'm not sure if I'm willing to go that far, but obviously it's an issue. And so not only are we going to miss out on a huge opportunity in a new market, we could end up undermining the current industry. And in some of these communities out there, this has been the most important economic development thing that has happened. This has changed the corn prices, forever if we can keep this going. And we just can't let this fail. Whatever you think about the whole carbon ideology thing, it's where we're at, and we have to deal with it.
Let's go to Fergus Falls, and Kevin has a question for Congressman Peterson. Go ahead, Kevin. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Thanks, Colin and Scott. Colin, I just appreciate what you've done for 7th District, for North Dakota, South Dakota, and little heads up, I'll say hi to Cody for you. I think you know her. But anyway, yeah. Thank you. I might not have voted Democrat, but you know what? You were really good at your job, and I do appreciate it. I really do. Thank you.
Well, thank you much. I appreciate that. And I had a good run, and I thought I did a lot of good things. And now I'm continuing to do that in a different role. And actually, I think prefer this role to the one I had before.
You mentioned earlier sustainable aviation fuels. Explain, what role that will play. I know there's a $1 billion sustainable aviation fuel plant on the drawing board in South Dakota. It'll only happen if the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline is operational. There's been other, refineries that have looked at that in North Dakota as well. What is this? Explain the importance of the sustainable aviation fuel market.
Okay, well, so this is a technology where you're going to change jet fuel from what's currently being made out of petroleum, and you're going to be able to change a good portion of it to what they consider to be sustainable. Now, it takes a feedstock to be able to do this, a feedstock other than oil. And the only feedstock that we have of any sufficient quantity in this country is ethanol that can actually do this. So there's people out there trying to make it out of corn stalks and that kind of stuff like we did when we went through this issue with cellulosic ethanol. But we know how to make ethanol. We know how to grow corn. We know how to store corn. We know how to run ethanol plants. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to make sure that ethanol is the feedstock that can be utilized to do this. And you talk to the folks that are developing this technology, they will tell you that ethanol is the best feedstock that they have available. Now, well, I shouldn't say the best. The best feedstock is making it out of kitchen grease and, that sort of thing. But there is not enough of that available to make any big dent in things. So the only way you're going to actually change the aviation fuel situation is by using ethanol as a feedstock to be able to make enough quantity to make a difference. And that's why this is important.
Short break. Back with more with Congressman Colin Peterson after a short time out. I want to ask him a little bit about the farm bill and how things are looking for this go around. And so that's something we hear about from Congress, but very instrumental, obviously, to producers in our part of the world. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And I also want to just ask him, modern agriculture, the direction that it's going without some sort of carbon management plan, really puts, I believe, modern agriculture in peril. When you think of whether it's regulating cow flatulence or all the things they're trying to do, and then at the same time not giving farmers credit for what they do, do in the way of carbon management and environmental practices. It's a bizarre time in which we live, but I believe it's live or die for modern agriculture. We'll see if Colin agrees when we come back.
From field to fuel, a story from the North Dakota Ethanol Council. Did you know ethanol costs less than other octane sources, reducing the cost of gasoline at the pump? North Dakota's corn ethanol refineries produce biofuel with among the smallest carbon footprints in the nation. Two, making use of steam from fossil fuel power plants. investments in carbon capture that will take advantage of North Dakota's unique geology, look to shrink those footprints even more. Ethanol is pioneering carbon capture. While the world talks about it, ethanol is doing it here, now, reducing the carbon footprint. North Dakota's corn producers are increasingly efficient stewards of the land, producing more on the same land with less inputs. Yields increasing 25 to 42% in the last 20 years. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org. A message from the North Dakota Ethanol Council.
H.A. Thompson & Sons, helping people for over 100 years save money by doing it right the first time. Now they build unique maintenance programs that apply a financial and mechanical solution to lower your owning and operating costs. They didn't like the old model in the industry, which was providing services and billing hours for repairs instead of getting paid for making your equipment run more efficiently and reliably. H.A. Thompson & Sons can tell you more. Call them at 223-3393, 701-223-3393, or at hatandsons.com.
In Minnesota, we work hard. And we play hard. Not everyone has the time to follow important debates about health care, taxes, and our kids' education. But people we don't know are making decisions for us every single day. That's where Center of the American Experiment comes in. We research the tough issues facing Minnesota to find common sense solutions and give you a voice. Center of the American Experiment is Minnesota's think tank, and we're working hard to make Minnesota better for you.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2 month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Flag, tell us and we'll flip you a flag cap at Big Iron today. Come on by. Last day, goes till 4 o'clock today. I stand for the flag. Got a flag cap for you. Got a flag bumper sticker for you. Got a flag walking stick for you. We're going to take good care of you at the Brenco building under the purple roof at Big Iron for day number 3 today. Finishing our chat with Colin Peterson, who represented Minnesota 7th District from 1991 to 2021. Long run. Now working with a number of agriculture folks. And I want to just ask you one last question on what's at stake here for projects like the Summit Carbon Solutions Pipeline, because that's one front and center for North Dakota. There's a couple of them on the drawing board in South Dakota. Are we talking about literally having a solution like this or risking modern agriculture as we know it? Is it that dire?
Well, that's what some people think. I don't know if I'd go that far, but, you know, there is ways. So we're working on trying to get people to understand about this whole new carbon management thing that you talked about. You know, that's what the American Carbon Alliance is doing. We're not advocating for how it happens. We're just trying to get people to understand that this is where the world has moved to, and this is what we have to deal with. You know, now you could send this carbon out to Western North Dakota and in trucks. You could send it out there in rail cars, but that's really not very efficient, and it'd actually be not as safe as a pipeline. So we're not in the pipeline business with the ACA. But obviously, that has to be part of the solution if we're going to make this work.
Let's talk a little bit about the Farm Bill. What's going on behind the scenes? How confident are you that it'll be done by the time it's supposed to be done, which it never is? And what are some of the things on the drawing board that most excite you?
Well, that's part of what I'm doing out here this week. I met with the secretary. I met with Stabenow. Tomorrow, I'm meeting with David Scott. And I've met with Thompson, with Bozeman, a number of times. So I'm trying to help sort through this and make sure they don't get themselves into a situation where they can't turn it around. So the Farm Bill expires September 30th. They're not going to get it done by then. The Secretary can manage this without a Farm Bill and probably till December, so they have some time. But what's the problem, you know, so that what's going on right behind the scenes is the staff of the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, are working together through the different titles. And that's 90% of the work, and that happens every time, and that's going well, and they're working together and getting along and so forth. The problem is the 10%, and that's always the issue. And commodity title, for example, you've got the commodity groups that are asking for a reference price increase. And, you know, there's some justification for that. You've got some of the commodity folks that are asking for a base update, which is very controversial. You know, so, you know, the reference price increase costs over $20 billion just for a 10% increase. And nobody can explain where that money is going to come from. So that's what's got it held up right now. That's the biggest problem. There's also people asking for, you know, Farm Bill status for some of the other programs that are now currently under appropriations. So the bottom line is people are bringing a lot of things to the table, asking for more money, things that are actually good, you know, probably should happen. But when you try to come up with money, you got to either raise revenue, which the Republicans are not going to do, or you got to cut spending, which sets off another war, especially if you try to take it from a different committee. And even within the Ag Committee, if you try to take money from the nutrition side and put it into the Title I commodity title, you're going to have trouble with the Democrats. So my whole thing that I'm admonishing people is you've got to work on a bipartisan basis. This is not going to get done unless you've got both sides buying in. There's no way that the House can do a partisan bill with a 5-vote margin. You've got 20 people at least on the Freedom Caucus that are not going to vote for a Farm Bill. I don't give a damn what you do with it. You know, and you've got people on the Democrat side that are the same way. So it's going to have to be bipartisan. I think the leaders are doing a good job. They're getting along. They're working together. They're talking. They haven't come up with a solution, but I'm hopeful that by December they'll have this figured out and we'll have a new Farm Bill and we can put it behind us.
And it's always threading the needle, isn't it? Because you have less and less rural representation all the time in Congress. So it's no easy feat getting that thing passed, is it?
Yeah, and it, you know, Scott, the other thing is that's really made it difficult. There are no Democrats left in farm districts. And that's, I was the last one. And that's made it harder. You know, you got, Angie Craig probably has the most agriculture of any Democrat on the Ag Committee, and she's only about 20% of her district is agriculture. You know, so most of the Democrats that are on the Ag Committee that have any agriculture have 15-20%, but the majority of their people are suburban or urban. And that's a big problem. You know, it's not in the old days when you had, you know, on the Ag Committee out of 50 members, you probably had 20 Democrats or 10 Democrats that had a farm district. You don't have that anymore. That's causing a lot of problems.
Yeah, you lose a voice there, you do. Colin, great catching up with you. Glad to know You're hard at it, as always, and appreciate the time today and the update on all these fronts. We'll, I'm sure, talk again about the American Carbon Alliance, the good work you're doing there, but appreciate the time today very much.
Yeah, thanks, John. Hopefully we'll catch up one of these days.
Yes. I'll head out to Floyd. Maybe a little ice fishing or something. Thanks, Colin. Take care. Thanks. We'll see you, folks. We're at Big Iron. Be here till 4 o'clock today. Come on by. Tell us you stand for the flag. We'll flip you a flag cap. Brenco Building, purple roof. Can't miss it. God bless you. See you tomorrow on What's On Your Mind.
When joint pain controls the way you move, it holds you back. The Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team can help with therapy and treatment options that focus on finding your way forward without pain. If you're ready to manage your symptoms or plan for a future total joint replacement, we're committed to providing you care in a healthy and safe environment. Call 701-323-8920 to schedule a same-day appointment with the Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team in Bismarck.
Discover Kinder Care. Kinder Care is assisted living homes located in West Fargo, offering adult daycare services, companion care, and assisted living, all the services you need available at Kinder Care, plus home-cooked meals, 24-hour security, personal care, and more, all in a cozy family environment located on 3 acres of land in a scenic, quiet country setting in West Fargo. KinderCareFargo.com or call 701-261-3246.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.